I turn to a daily reading for today, and the title on the top of it says, Love Never Fails. Love never fails. And obviously it's taken from that great scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yes.
The love scripture, really. Love never fails. You know, your Bible is broken up into chapters. It's broken up into verses, isn't it? Do you know why that's done? It's just so you can remember where things are. If you erase the numbers and the chapters away, you can just continue reading through.
Yeah.
Many of the times, and sometimes there's a pause. We think we stop at the end of a chapter and think, well, that's the end of that chapter. But we can. But if you carry on and read through as if there's no break, they blend together.
Yeah, they do.
And in Corinthians, it is very much like that. And Paul here is talking to the church at Corinth and is encouraging them. And in chapter 12, he's encouraging them with spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you ignorant, he says. Don't want you so you don't know what's happening and what God wants to do. I want you to be conscious. I want you to be aware of. And I want you to realize that in this, that you're not going to be, as you are conscious of spiritual things, you will not be led away by any wind of doctrine.
Amen.
We're not talking to a dumb idol when we're talking to God. We're talking to the creator of the universe.
Amen.
And he says, I want you to discern spirits. And he goes through that chapter. And then he tells you that he wants you to be involved in these spiritual gifts. He wants the spiritual gifts of God to flow through you. And the spiritual gifts to work in you.
Amen.
He wants you and God to come together. And that God will flow through you. Because that is when you are more effective.
Amen.
That is when you are the most powerful. That is when you are the most discerning. That is when you know what God is saying and what God wants you to do. And so we need to tune ourselves to the gift of the Spirit.
Amen.
And then it goes on towards the end of chapter 12. And it says in verse 28, God has appointed in these churches first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various tongues are all. And then he goes on and says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" And then he goes on and says, "But desire, earnestly desire, the best gifts." And yet I show you a more excellent way. And then he begins to talk, begins to share of the love of God and the love that God has for him and for each and every one of us. And he says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and clanging cymbals. It's just a noise. It's just a noise. What wins people to Jesus is love.
Yeah, true.
What brings people to Jesus is the love of God. He says in John, the Epistle of John, chapter 4 and verse 8, God is love. If you want to know how much you want to know about God, you find it in the sense in that one statement, God is love.
Yeah.
It doesn't say God is lust.
No.
He says he's love. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's a God that is a just God. But the very essence, the very makeup of God is love for each and every one of us. And his love never fails. His love is not determined on what is happening around him. Love flows from him. And so we need to realize that as Paul is speaking here in this 1 Corinthians 13, he says, you know, you can have all these things, but if you don't have love, you are a sounding brass, clanging cymbals. He says, you can have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and the knowledge and have all faith so that you could remove mountains. But having not love, he says, I am nothing. I'm worthless.
Yeah.
Without the love of God, we're worthless.
Yeah.
You know, there are people going round who are working miracles. There are people going round who are praying for people. Have no love for the body of Christ. Have no real love for God.
No.
They have a love for money.
Yeah.
They have a love for things. We need to have a love for God, that passion, that desire for God that drives us on. We saw last night those young men and young women who had love and desires for drugs, alcohol, sex, and whatever else it was that they took and did in their life. And it brought destruction upon them. It brought them to the end of themselves. There were some photographs that came up on screen and you just went, wow.
Yeah.
They showed you the before
and
the after Jesus.
Yeah.
And some of the befores were awful. Dreadful state.
Yeah.
Looked like they were death on legs.
Yeah,
but when Jesus came in, the transformation. It's transformation. You know, it's the equivalent of the chrysalis and the butterfly. When you look at a chrysalis, it's ugly. You don't want to pick it up, do you? You think, oh, don't touch that, leave it alone. When a butterfly comes, you'd let it land on your hand if it would. That you might see the beauty of what God has created. And that was the difference last night. You saw young men, young women transformed by the love of God.
Absolutely.
That flowed through their lives, that has done a life of changing and changing and changing. And when you partake of Jesus, when you partake of the very life of God, He transforms you. That which was ugly becomes beautiful in the sight of God. And that which was ugly is changed through love. The love of God. Jesus died on the cross. They nailed him to it. Wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. Wasn't any ropes that held him to the cross. It was the love of God. It was the love that he had for you and for me, that our sins might be forgiven, that he would pay the price for your sins, for my sins, because we deserve to die.
Yeah.
We deserve to live condemned eternally in hell forever.
Yeah.
In ourselves we have no worth.
No.
But Jesus came and he died for you and for me because God loved us so much. It says in John's Gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on a cross. For who?
Me.
Put your name in there. Put your name in there.
Yeah.
He died for us. He died for you and for me. When you read this word, it put your name in it. Because it's about you. This book is personal. It's for you. It's a love letter from God for you. Hallelujah. He's speaking to you, not to the person next to you. He's talking to you.
Amen.
He's in love with you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not with the person next to you. He's in love directly with you. Oh, he's in love with the person next to you as well, right? But, you know, you've got to make this personal. You are unique, yeah. It is unique. The unique in its application. You think, well, how can God love all of us? I mean, think about it, you know. I mean, how can God love Graham and then he says he loves me as well? I mean, come on. Because he made us. And he made us in his image. And so here we are. We're nothing without Jesus. We're nothing without the love of God. Absolutely nothing. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profit me nothing. You know, people give to charities and, you know, that's their deed done.
No.
Have they got love?
No.
It's just a token. It's a conscience easer.
Mm.
Love suffers long. It is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Hallelujah. This is love. This is love. There's that song, "Here is love vast as the ocean." How big's the ocean? How deep is it? You only see the surface. But there is a depth that is, to some degree, has been, we've not been able to measure. Haven't got to the bottom of it. We don't even know what exists within our own oceans. We know more about space than we know about what's on our own planet. It's quite amazing, really, isn't it? We don't know what's around us, but we seem to think we know more about space. I think love's a bit like that. People think they know what love really is. But love has a depth and a vastness like an ocean. How deep will it go? How much can it take? Well, my title was Love Never Fails. The love of God, the true love of God in our life never fails.
No.
Oh, I've heard people say to me, oh, I love you, Andrew, I think you're wonderful. It's like, yeah, that's all, that's, they love me, they think I'm wonderful, whilst I'm agreeing with them. Whilst they're agreeing with me. The moment that we disagree about something, I'm a rotten so-and-so. And I just think, well, that's your choice. But as you say, Christine, that's not love. You see, love will take what's thrown at it. True love. That deep love. Not the emotional lust and of the flesh, but deep love. That will, even when you have to correct someone, you correct it in love, they receive it in love, and everybody benefits. Yeah, even you. Even you. I'll pick on the youngest today. Eva. She has to have correction. She has to be stopped from doing certain things. Is that true? If not, if they don't stop her, in truth, Mum and Dad do not love her. She might not think in her tiny mind at that point in time that they love her. She might think that Mum and Dad don't love me because I can't do this and I want to do this and I will make a noise and a fuss. And she's learning. She's going to have to learn to discern what is true love and what is not. Mum and Dad do the disciplining. God the Father disciplines his children. He only disciplines his children because he loves you. You see, we have a society now that says, well, you know, when you start disciplining, you don't love me. That's the pathway, isn't it? You don't love me. Teenagers go through that phase where it's like, they're going to do their own thing, and Mum and Dad say, no, you're not going to do that. What? If you don't let me do that, you don't love me. Listen, kid. The reason we're not going to let you do that is because we love you.
Amen.
The reason we're not going to let you go and sleep around is because we love you. Love sometimes has to hand out some discipline and some restraint and some guidance. So we need to realize that love works in our lives. Verse 7 says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, love endures all things. And there are some days when you feel you endured more than you should. But what keeps you going? What keeps you going? The love of God keeps us going. Because there are days when you'd like to slap someone and not out of love. Come on. Well, there's days you'd like to just slap somebody and it's not out of love. It's out of frustration and fleshly moaning and complaining and whatever else it happens to be. But then, as you say, you have to put on the love of God and say, what would God do in this situation? What do I have to do? And sometimes we have to go that extra mile. Take a detour, like we did last night. I was wondering if we were ever going to get home. Just close one road off and, golly gee, it was, home had gone. Just about, hallelujah. It was a challenge, glory to Jesus. Yeah, you see, sometimes love just shuts up. Sometimes love just shuts up and says, keep your peace. Be still. Be still. Verse 8 says, love never fails. Love never fails. You can stay there. When somebody does you wrong, what do you do? You have to love them. There isn't a choice. Well, there is, but it's not a good choice. What's the opposite of love? Hate. Hate. Love and hate don't go together.
No.
They can't live in the same house.
No.
They're two opposites.
Yeah.
They pull in total opposite directions.
Yeah.
And that will bring destruction.
Yeah.
Cause a house to go nowhere. Hate is powerful. The devil uses hate to stop love from flowing through a person's life.
Yeah.
Becomes like a barricade. It's a blockade that prevents the love of God flowing.
Yeah.
You win people by loving them. You don't win them by hating them. You just kill them. Love never fails. He says, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. And so it goes on. Verse 12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly. We don't fully understand what is going on at times, do we? We might think we're smart enough to understand and we know everything that is going on, but let's be honest, we don't. And then that's where we then apply the love of God in our own lives. And as we apply the love of God in our own lives, then it takes us through this point. And the love of God will bring you to a place of maturity. The love of God in your life is a sign of maturity.
Absolutely.
Hatred is a sign of immaturity.
Yes.
You're still a child of the devil.
Yeah.
But maturity brings us to a place where we're totally in love.
Yeah.
Verse 13 says this, now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
Amen.
The greatest gift that God has available for us is love. I once preached on there are levels and we climb up through the levels. Somebody went for me, told me I was wrong. That's okay. But let me tell you this, the highest thing that you will ever seek to achieve for in God is the love of God in your life. You might have tongues, you might have prophecy, you might have wisdom, you might have revelation, you might have knowledge. But Paul says if you don't have love, you ain't got anything. You see, the pinnacle of it all is love. So many people think chasing gifts of the Spirit, and that's not wrong to seek the things of the Spirit, but just the outward giftings people will seek and will boast, oh, I'm a prophet. Oh, I'm an apostle. Oh, I work miracles. Do you have love? That's the greatest. That's the pinnacle of all of creation. That is the pinnacle of all of God. Love. 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 Without that, we have nothing. We are nothing, and we will never be anything. The greatest of these is love. Next, he goes on to say, pursue love. Pursue the love of God. When he says pursue love, what he's really saying is pursue God, because God is love. Pursue God. God is love. Pursue Him. Chase after Him. Don't let Him out of your sight. Don't let go of Him. Because the moment that you do, you will have a love for something else. You see, within each and every one of us, there is a space that requires love. Yeah. And we fill it with things. Yeah. The love of a motor car. The love of a sport. The love of a woman. The love of chocolate. The love of foods. The love of alcohol. The love of drugs. But they never, ever satisfy that place which is where the love of God should reside. Everybody keeps trying to put a different piece in that part of the jigsaw of their life. They keep trying to put maybe a drug in there, chocolate, a car, a house, some clothes, some shoes, mentioning no names. Oh, shoes that you can shake a stick at, somebody I know. Never seen so many shoes in all of my life. Must be a woman thing. I can understand somebody having all these motorbikes, but again, that's a man thing. But there is this thing of things to replace, to fit that gap. Nothing, nothing can fit the gap of the God love that is to be applied into our lives. God is love. That piece fits. Yeah. You know, there's a saying, isn't there, I think, in the clothes, one size fits all. Yeah? Well, let me tell you this. God's one size, one size of love fits all. Amen. Leaves no spaces, leaves no gaps, and there's no joins. It blends into us when we love God. We become one with Him and He becomes one with us. That is true love. It's not making demands of us. Love says, I just want to give. Love says, I just want to do. Love says, I just want to be. That's what love says. That is the real love. Lust will say, I want, I need, I'm having. That's the love of lust. That's the fleshly love that we all have experienced in our lives. But we need to experience the love of God that satisfies, that fulfills us. And Paul says, pursue love, pursue God, pursue God. Don't let Him out of your sight. Don't let go of Him. Because without Him, You'll be lost. Without him, you'll be hungering and thirsting. Without him, you'll be lonely. Without him, you'll be lost. I'm very sad. Because when the things of the world cease, when the things of the world break down, we can become very sad. But when we've got the love of God in our lives, when we're in love with the Creator, then we know we have an eternal life, we have an eternal purpose, we have an eternal glory. And God will move in our lives in such a wonderful way as to cause things to change in such a wonderful way that we've never known before. God is love. God is love. He loves you more than you love him. He cares for you more than you care for him. We need to begin to turn that around, that we spend more time in his presence. Letting God do the work in our lives. Letting God change us, mold us and shape us to his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Love never fails. God never fails. Remember that. Remember that. And the greatest of these is love. And the greatest of these is God. And the greatest of these is love. And the greatest of these is God. God and love are one. That's what it is. John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die for you and for me. Hallelujah. The person sat next to you, God gave his Son Jesus for them.
Amen.
To redeem them back to himself. To give God the right to place within each and every one of us himself.
Yeah.
His love. That he might then make you and me into the image of himself again. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.